Good morning and welcome. Thank you for coming to my first meeting as chairman of this august group. I thank you all for attending. I think we have a pretty long agenda, so I'd like to get started right away. We have Todd Snyder with us from New York City, who's smiling at us through the wonders of technology. And maybe we can just go around and state our names for the record, beginning with Commissioner Ball.
Richard Ball, Department of Ag and Markets.
Thank you.
John Graziano.
Jeff Canizzo, New York Thoroughbred Breeders Association.
Howard Nolan.
John Poclemba.
Tracy Egan, Executive Director of the Fund.
Kyle Flaherty, Fund Counsel.
Joe McMahon.
William Wilmot.
Joe Lamassier, Controller of the Fund.
Ron O'Grum, Chairman Cameron's designee.
Thank you very much.
And if I could just pass on the regrets from Ed Kelly, who was under weather today and he couldn't attend. And also, Chairman Poclemba spoke with John Crotty, and he also was unable to attend today and sends his regrets.
Thank you, Tracy. The first item is the minutes from the December 4th, 2014 meeting. Did everyone have an opportunity to review the minutes? Are there any changes or amendments? Hearing none, the minutes are adopted. Item three is the audited financial statements. Jill, would you present that, please?
Yes. These audited financial statements were completed in March of 2015, and they were filed on our website and with the authority budget office as required. If you go to the contents page, it includes the independent auditor's report, which states on the beginning of page two that the financial statements were presented fairly in all material respects, so there were no findings during the audit. The audited financial statements also include the financial statements, the notes to the financial statements from page 9 to 17 that give an explanation of the accounting policies that are used. We've also got some supplemental reports on internal control, compliance, and investments. There were no findings in any of those reports. On the back, there is another document that's on the back, which is the report to the board. That's where the auditors give information on their responsibilities and certain information on the scope and the timing of the audit. Again, there were no findings, there were no adjustments that were needed to the 2014 financial statements. And so summaries is everything went well and no issues. Are there any questions?
I have one. How long has Chosky been auditing?
Toski's been auditing us, I think, since 2008. Currently, they're in the second year of a third-year proposal.
But this is a new proposal, so I had searched other companies, including MWBE's. We did a request for a proposal, and theirs was the lowest bid that also had a minority businesswoman enterprise component to it. So that's how the audit committee of the fund selected them to do the job. Lowest price as well as a component, because we want to meet our executive order 15A requirements.
Any other questions?
Okay, moving on to the next item, the June 2015 year-to-date financials. Jill?
Okay. This is just a printout of something that's sent to everybody on a monthly basis. So at this time, I've just completed July, but it hasn't been reviewed. So at this point, June is what's last reviewed and approved. And, you know, these monthly reports that I send out try to give a year-to-date, and it gives a rolling total so that we can see where we stand to budget. And everything at this point is pretty much on track. We've got some our revenues are a little bit lower than what we had budgeted for. Some of that was due to the handle, which was weather-related and the late start in Finger Lakes. And then we also have a decrease in the Finger Lakes VLP revenue, which is due to an agreement on the rate that's paid to us for VLTs from Finger Lakes. We knew that had come, but we weren't sure quite how that would affect the revenues. Offsetting that is a decrease in the awards that we've had to pay out. I did a little analysis, and if you were to look at page 7 and 8 of the financial statements, you would see that handle has decreased by about 7% year to date, and the awards are down about 7.7%. So there's a relationship there between the awards being paid out and the handle that's being taken in. The admin and promo aspects of the budget are still under budget, under what we had budgeted. They're above the prior year, and that's primarily due to the GASB 68, which we're doing an accrual adjustment this year. It's a first time the GASB 68 will be in effect, and we didn't quite know what our liability would be. So we had based our accrual based on the $250,000 liability. We just received preliminary numbers from the retirement fund, and it looks like it's going to be substantially less. So that's going to be some additional money as well towards the end of the year, additional savings or an expense that we won't have.
Substantially less being half?
A little less than half, actually. And then we've got the Zwipe Fund, the Finger Lakes breakage, and the which are have relationships to the revenues. There's statute amounts that we pay out. We've got the purse enrichment that currently is right online with what we had budgeted, the $1.5 million. And at this point, the budget is kind of comparable to last year's. There's no real surprises or concerns at this point that we feel are an issue. And we feel at this point the fund will be able, we have a 10% withhold. We pay out 90% of the awards when we make our payments every 2 months. But we feel at this time there won't be a problem making that additional, the 10% withhold payment. And there's supporting documents that go with that. Does anybody have any questions on the June internal financial reports?
Thank you, Jill. The next item is a proposal to raise registration fees.
So do we need a motion to accept the financials?
Have a motion to accept.
I think that would be done with the budget when we get to the budget item. On the item 5, a proposal for higher registration fees. Could you explain that one, Jill? And
sure.
Some of our newer people, edification, who made the proposal, how it originated, that type of thing?
This was a discussion that kind of, I think, came out during the audit committee meeting when we had first started to do the budget. But I think there had been some discussion as well with aftercare. So it's somewhat related to trying to find how the fund and the breeders, how we can help with the aftercare programs. I wasn't involved in a lot of those conversations, but what I did do is an analysis of our current registration fees. The schedule that you're seeing up here, the top half of it shows all the different states and the registration fees that they have. And the first column, of course, is New York and what we currently have. So fees collected in 2014 were about $156,000. It's not a big percentage of our total revenues. It's less than 1% in 2014. But we were looking and see where we compare to other states. And we feel that we could, and these fees that we've charged have been in effect for as long as we can find record of. So I think these fees have been around since at least the 1990s. I can't give an exact date. So what we looked at doing proposed fees is to increase the weanling fee by just $25 from $75 to $100. We didn't want to raise that a lot. That's where we get the majority of our registrations, and we want to encourage people to register the polls as soon as possible so that we can get good counts and see how our program is doing. After that, the yearlings, two-year-olds, three-year-olds, and stallions, we doubled the fees on that.
We're proposing to double the fees on that, yes.
Exactly. Okay, thank you. If you look at our estimated number of registrations, these are the registrations that were taken in 2014, and multiplied them by the proposed rates, it would increase our revenue by about $90,000.
And then beyond that, we've had discussions where we would like to propose, we would ask for a motion from someone here, to use half the registration fees that come in on an annual basis, and then select aftercare facilities in New York State that have been certified by the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance. The TAA has strict standards that you have to have a minimum of 10 horses, 50% of your herd must at minimum be thoroughbreds. You need to agree with certain policies and procedures that are approved by the American Association of Equine Practitioners. You have to allow physical inspection by the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance. And last year, the fund, through promotional spends, we only had two TAA-approved facilities last year, and they were Akondale Thoroughbred Adoption and the Finger Lakes Thoroughbred Adoption Program. And in exchange for promotion, we were able to provide, I think, $25,000 to each one of those. They are probably the largest aftercare facilities in the state as well, so they're doing the most good with the horses, and recognize the breeding fund as being a sponsor and in step and in line with their belief that we need to do more for aftercare for the horses after they have run their hearts out for us at the track. We want to be able to show that our breeders are contributing to that as well, to their aftercare.
Where did the proposal originate to increase the fees? Joe?
Came out of the audit committee meetings this spring. We've been discussing this issue for several years. Excuse my voice, but I'm really not up. But anyway, because of the way the fund is set up, with the parameters of what we can do with our money, we've never been able to appropriate enough money for what we wanted to do. So we've been looking for ways of doing it within the existing operation of the fund to put more money into aftercare. So John Graziano and myself and Bill Wilmot met on numerous times to try to hash this thing out, figure out ways of coming up with extra money. This was the best way that seemed to do what we needed to do without really hurting anybody. If you look at the registration fees across the country, for the amount of money we're giving away and the amount of money we're charging to register a foal, it's a very good deal, an extremely good deal. So we looked at that as the most likely way and the way legally that we could do it out of our budget. Because promotional money or the promotional money is one thing, this is registration money, and it's not treated the same as the rest of our revenue. It's kind of an outside source to some extent. So we can do more things with that money than we can with specific money from the rest of the fund. So that's what we came up with, was increase the awards and recommend to the board that we would do a 50% donation to approve New York State farms, retirement farms, approved, and we would certainly enforce that very heavily for retirement.
And who approves them?
Well,
a group called the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance. We also give money through promotional spend, but you know, it's much less. I mean, I can't approve a spend of more than $5,000, and I get approval from the promotional committee, Jeff and Joe and Bill Wilmot, before I do those spends. For example, if they're having a you know, their major fundraiser, a dinner in Saratoga or a dinner out at the Finger Lakes, things like that. But it's never enough. And the breeders group, they polled their members and the group that we have, Sole Source. And Jeff, can you tell us the approach?
Chairman, I think I can shed even more light to this. So aftercare is possibly one of the hottest topics in our industry. It's highly important. There's going to be a summit coming up in the weeks ahead with the Gaming Commission as well on this topic. The NYTB Association reviewed this proposal as well. Our board of directors voted in support of this concept. And the thought behind this is that all people that are participating in this program at the breeder level would be partaking in this aftercare initiative. And that's really the thought process there, is that everyone involved is actually partaking and contributing towards aftercare, which is probably the most important part of all of this. So that was the NYTB position.
We tried to, in our discussions, we tried to identify all the sources in New York State where breeders are contributing currently. And Jeff did all the background on that, but I'll just tell you briefly that, you know, every time we sell a horse in New York State, we pay into aftercare. All the consigners, all the buyers pay a percentage of their purchase price into aftercare. The stallion farms in the state contribute to aftercare through a vehicle they've got. The general population of people are very generous, and they're always willing to give for this kind of thing. So we just wanted, we really felt that the fund needed to step up more, but we did put together an impressive list of how much money we're already putting out there, and we need to do more.
For example, one thing you mentioned is when anybody registers a foal with a jockey club, Todd, $25 of that $200 fee is put into a pool of money for aftercare. So we'd be doing something similar, but we'd like to be able to say to these farms in New York State, you're going to be feeding New York Hay, New York Feed, New York Blacksmith, come into the farm, and we're here to support you, and this would be a sustainable way, although it's certainly worthwhile to every year examine the issue. Is the need still there? Do we still have the money to afford it? Hopefully, as years go on, the answers will be yes.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, I did get into your question, though. The organization reference is the nationally recognized accrediting body. So it's a national accredited facility.
Thank you.
Okay.
Now, Kyle, you prepared a legal opinion on the board's authority to do this?
Right. And I guess the question really is whether I should do this in open meeting or whether we should have a brief executive session for me to do that. Really, it's really the pleasure of the board to see, pleasure of the chair, to whether you want to go into executive committee where I can give a brief review, or I can do it in open meeting as well.
Well, it was my understanding that opinion had been sent over to commission counsel for their review. And we were waiting for commission counsel to indicate whether or not they felt that this board has the authority to do this. We could go into executive session if the board feels that would be helpful.
I don't know. Did
we could just wait until we get back, hear back from commission to have a final vote on it.
Well, I want to let you know that Mark Stewart came into my office yesterday afternoon, and he was supportive of this. He said, you know, make it very clear that these are entities in New York State, and they're New York horses. And he asked, should we limit it to New York breds? And I said, I don't think so. I think we have horses that come into our tracks in the Finger Lakes and the Naira tracks, and once they raced here, if we can help place them in aftercare here, it's basically, once a horse is placed in aftercare, you know, it may be rehomed in 6 months to someone else who, you know, will take it onto their personal payroll. And in some cases, horses cannot race again because they have some kind of injury, and those will be on somebody's farm for 20, 30 years. And I think all the people that I know that own farms, including Joe McMahon and Bill Wilmot, they probably have retired horses that they have for decades on their farm, and it never shows up in anybody's bottom line as something that we do. But breeders, anyone I've ever met loves their horses, and you love and respect them throughout their life, and that means providing them home. These are for, if they raced at New York tracks, these facilities in New York, they're trying to rehome them so that it's not a permanent burden. The New York horsemen, through Take Two, they have tried with a wonderful program that they started on their own to encourage people to use thoroughbreds in the show ring again, and they did that by, you know, seeding a lot of money into horse shows, and that has done a tremendous amount to increase the popularity and the demand for thoroughbreds after they're done racing. A thoroughbred has a wonderful mind. You think, you know, they're like a prey animal, like a rabbit, yet we put them into a starting gate, and men in funny costumes and whips are on their backs, and a big bell goes off, and they leap out of the gate, and they run. Well, that, you know, they're dependent on us. They decided, you know, you, human being, you're my herd leader. And so this is a way to respect them throughout their lives by providing a substantial way, an ongoing way to give them aftercare.
Let me just say this. I have looked at this issue from a legal standpoint. I generally think that it is, that this board does have the authority to do this. There, as with any opinion you're going to get from a lawyer, I'm not going to say it's not without risk, and I'd be happy to talk about what that risk is, but I think to the extent that I do that, I should do that in the executive session. But I will just say, as a general matter, I do believe that this board does have the authority.
Mr. Chairman, I did talk with Mr. Stewart yesterday. He was actually writing a letter based on the opinion, so he hasn't completed that, so I've been waiting to see that.
Yeah, and
Mr. Chair, I just want to make a comment further to what Tracy was saying about the idea of perhaps if this board were to fund these programs through the registration fees, that it be limited to New York breds. And while I think on the surface that seems logical, I think upon reflection that actually trying to pursue that would be onerous, because now you've got to track each individual horse, and we don't have the staff really to do that. There's our field team right there. And I think that it's better at this point to be open to all racehorses who raced in New York and end up at these facilities in New York, rather than trying to say, you know, no Kentucky breds need apply. I just think that's divisive, and it's at the end of the day, it would not be enforceable. So I think keep it simple, stupid. That's what we should apply to. If we go ahead and do this, just any racehorse that goes to one of these approved facilities, that's how it should be. The other idea sounds nice, but I think it'd be too complicated. At the end of the day, I don't think it would be productive. I don't think it would be helpful.
Well, I think that, you know, this was sent over to Commission Counsel before I was appointed chairman, so he's preparing a legal analysis for us. I think it would be prudent for us to at least read that before we vote on this. So
I also haven't seen Kyle's analysis.
Kyle, could you distribute your opinion to all the members of the board?
Sure.
So everybody could take a look at that, and then when we get the opinion from Commission Counsel, we can put this on the agenda for the next meeting. I'd be looking to have a meeting sometime in early December. Our bylaws provide that we have to have a meeting 4 times a year, so I'd be looking to do one in early December, and we could read both legal opinions and be prepared to vote on this then. Is that okay with you, Todd?
It is, John, but I think I hear Kyle saying that there are some identifiable risks to this analysis, and that in executive session, maybe after we get the view.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. I think Kyle points those risks out in his memorandum, which will be shipped to you as soon as possible, and that will indicate to you the issue that he raised.
Sounds good. Thank you.
So that takes care of 6 and 7. Moving on to number 8, promotion update, including fellowship and scholarship updates. Tracy?
Well, last...
We need to do 7, right?
7?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
7 is different.
Jeez, I'm sorry. I apologize. It was 5 and 6 that we considered, and will be put off until the next.
Okay.
Item 7, increasing the Breeders' Award cap to 65%, Tracy, could you explain that for us? I know the agenda says Jeff, but I think Jeff would be more appropriate if Tracy presented that.
Well, of course, where this program was originally created back in 1973, and no one at that time knew how it might grow and become as popular as it is today. And the caps that were written into the legislation never foresaw that we would have so many people breeding horses. At the time in 1973, NIBRA only had to write one race for New York breds, and now they have to write a minimum of 600 a year. So there is, historically, over the many decades, oftentimes breeders were told you will get like 20% of your horse finishes first, second, third in a race in New York State. However, they weren't able to get that full 20% because we run up against a cap. And I know Jill provided to you, Mr. Chairman, a how we keep track of it every month. And as soon as we have our next New York Bred Showcase day, we'll get close to the limit, or maybe we're already over. Are we over yet, Jill? We're not over yet, but we will be probably after we have New York Showcase Day in August, and then it'll be even more over when we get to October. And there's money to do it, and Jeff has gone to the legislature to get, and he goes there every year, to get backing from the legislature for it. So the legislature, Jeff, you can explain this, the legislature has said okay, and then the check and balance on that is then he comes to the fund and asks the fund board members, is this a wise decision to do? And that's what we present to you today.
So for the last 5 years, the statute's been changed to increase the cap on breeders awards to 65% out of necessity, because breeders are earning beyond 50% that was done 30 plus years ago through statute. This allows the fund to pay a full breeder awards that are being earned on the racetrack. This is done out of the success of the industry. That's why this has happened. We have more foals, they're racing more often, they're earning more money on the racetrack, which is a success of this program. So in this success of the last 5+ years, we've been required to increase that cap that the fund can utilize money for breeders' awards. And that cap went from 50% up to the 65% level. This has been signed by the governor for the last 5 years. It passed the legislature.
I think it's been
year.
Longer than that, Jeff. I think it's been about 10.
5 years. 5 years to 65%.
Okay, but before that, okay.
Before that was 50. Okay. Correct. Up from 40. So, again, this has been signed by the governor for the last 5 years to do so that breeders earn money out of the fund according to what they're earning on the racetrack. And that's the history behind this. This again would be another year to do so, obviously, because they're earning that money through the fund. If we were not to do this, we would essentially be not paying people out of the fund what they're earning in awards. If we're advertising through awards, it would be obviously a problem. So we passed this legislation this year again to extend it next year. It requires the fund board to vote on it to approve to do so.
Any questions? Yes, Doctor.
I think it's amazing, the budgeting process and the guessing, because really we don't know what is going to be earned. It's not paid after it's earned. I mean, it's paid as you go. And I think, as Jeff said, the big print is that the industry's been growing in this state, and it's the breeding fund, and so the breeders' awards. Really, that's the part that's grown. You know, when you go back and look at this legislation when it was drafted back in the early 70s, who knew how it was going to go? Maybe even the stallion thing was going to grow, and that's what we'd have to pay on. So I think it's just managing the way a business has grown myself, and it makes sense, since it's a breeding fund, to pay more money to the breeders. That's what it was invented for, just sort of the grassroots look at it.
Anyone else have any questions? Then we'll accept the motion.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Graziano, second by Senator Nolan. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Can you record the vote?
Todd, did you vote yea or nay?
Yes, I'm in support.
Thank you.
So all in support.
Any opposed? Unanimous. Item 8, I'm sorry about skipping 7, but item 8. Sorry, Jeff.
That's okay.
Tracy, the firm promotion update, including fellowship and scholarship updates?
Yep. Well, I love the fact that when the fund was starting to emerge from the financial troubles that were caused because New York City was trying to go bankrupt, that the first thing they did was support a proposal to give scholarships to students in the equine studies programs at Cobleskill College, Morrisville College, and Cornell. And so this year we raised the scholarship amounts to $3,000 each and gave out 6 scholarships, $18,000 total. We've given over now $73,000 in scholarships since we first began giving scholarships in 2012. And these are terrific students. Some of them will end up maybe, you know, managing a barn at one of the racetracks, or they'll work on some of the farms in New York State. One of our scholarship winners this year is also a fellowship student, and I placed her. She definitely wants to manage a farm, and she realized after working on a farm for several years that if she didn't have a college degree to go with her experience, she wasn't going to get that management position. So after working at a farm in DeLancey, she went back to school at Cobleskill in their equine studies program, and she has been an outstanding student such that her professors selected her for our fellowship program, which we started this year, the suggestion of Bill Wilmot, and helped by members of this board and also Jeff Canizzo, representing the NYTB. And we got the fellowship program off the ground. So 3 of the students are with top-notch trainers, Hall of Famer Todd Pletcher, Bill Wilmot, and Christophe Clement. And they're learning incredible skills, attending lectures that I set up for them over the summer. And now their resume is going to put them head and shoulders above competitors. Amanda Tinkler is our Cobleskill student who wants to manage a farm, and we placed her at McMahon Thoroughbreds of Saratoga, which is famous in the state because that's the birthplace of our famous Kentucky Derby winner, Funnyside, also the highest earning New York bred in history. And if Amanda were here, she would go on and on about how much she has come to love the hard work and seeing that a family-run farm, it's, you know, Joe and Ann and then their sons and their daughters and grandchildren all involved in this farm. And just for the record, I want it noted that, you know, Joe doesn't get any money from the fund for doing this. He's always offering, you know, his farm. If we're having a farm tour, he offers the farm. So the fellowship program, the scholarship program are all running fantastic. And then we have promotional money that we spend with such as Horse Racing TV. We have a program where the announcers, if a New York bred is an open company, they'll mention that it's a New York bred because we want to inform people and make them knowledgeable that New York breds, they're not your father's, you know, Chevrolet anymore. It's a whole new thing. They're very popular. And our chairman asked the question, how do you know that your advertising is working? And we see it in the fact that we have bucked the trend for the past 4 years in that we're increasing our fall crops. We see it in the sales ring, where just this past week, New York breds reached new heights in sales figures. Fewer buybacks, and we have pretty high median, and that stayed the same. So, we have a promotional spend amount, and we did something new the past couple of years, which is I work with an ad hoc committee on advertising, which is Joe McMahon, Bill Wilmot, and Jeff Canizzo, to decide where to place the money. So, you know, we're always looking, Jill does an excellent job of keeping all of us attuned to where that spend is so we can see what we have left for the rest of the year. And we keep our powder dry a little bit in the summer to make sure if we have horses that are bound for the Breeders' Cup that we'll have money to let the public that's interested in buying horses, racing horses, know about those outstanding horses.
Any questions for Tracy? Thank you very much. Jeff,
yes.
Review of 2015 promotional activities.
Thank you. So So if NYTB, since the existence of the fund, has had a promotional contract to execute promotional activities as the core mission of the fund and part of the statute to promote reading here in the state of New York, and we're operating under an existing contract, the second year of an optional three-year term, and I'm going to talk about the activities in this packet that everyone should have with the red on the top, red bar with our logo, just to walk you through quickly all the things that we've done under that contract this year in 2015, and that we plan to do in 2016. The biggest piece of our promotions is the website that we maintain, which is nytbreeders.org. This is a promotional website. This is essentially a one-stop source for the industry nationally. We have 11,000 people, unique people, that visit this on a monthly basis. And for those that know web analytics, that's a significant number of traffic for a very unique niche industry wrapped around New York. But we provide daily commentary, articles and news that are full-time staff to do so, breeding, racing, sales news, national, every time a horse that's a New York bred that races or enter, we buy data that's supplied to, that's free to the public to see who the breeders are, when horses are racing, national results of every single New York bred that runs around the world, win photos, earnings, race replays for every New York bred that runs, victories. We have a stallion registry that's a very complex technology that allows people to view stallions and do matings and all the other statistics behind the stallions. We also do sales work on here where if a horse is entered into sale, people can view the pedigrees and whatnot, and results of sales. So it's a very, very complex website that's been developed over many, many years. That's come a long, long way, that's turned into being a nationally recognized source. The second page is we're involved, of course, in the next phase of media, social media, via Facebook and Twitter. So we're developing clientele and, again, followers of over 1,500 people that follow us daily on those sources. We do a weekly electronic newsletter that's, again, published in-house. It goes out every single Friday. It's grown over 5,000 people receive this every Friday that participate or looking to participate or interested in the New York breeding and racing scene. You flip the next page, page four, we do some print and online publications as well. So we annually publish a New York Stallion Register, and this is a book of all the stallions that are registered here in the state of New York that is cohesive with our online Stallion Registry. Again, this is done through Jockey Club information and via the Blood Horse as well. So it's a national publication that we distribute to over 23,000 people. One of our most important pieces is this New York Breeder magazine. This is a monthly magazine that's distributed nationally on specific months and published online as well every month and delivered around the country to talk specifically about New York breeding. And again, it's grown significantly over the last several years as well. That's our monthly magazine that's done through this promotional agreement. Page five, we have a series of events to promote the industry. Our marquee event is the Divisional Championship Awards, where every April we award the top New York bred horses that were born here in the state and all of their connections. It's done so here in Saratoga, and it's become our Eclipse Award, per se, for New York bred horses over the last several years. We put together sales events wrapped around sales dates here in New York State. The most recent one that occurred was this past weekend, actually, when there was two New York bred sales in this very room. We had an event with over 250 attendees that are partaking in the sales arena and helping to promote the sales themselves. We're involved with the showcase days, which are three occurrences throughout the course of the year that New York breds are highlighted in the stakes programs and the materials that are affiliated with those showcase days. And the last event is a pre-breeding season event held in December every year here in Saratoga to kind of jumpstart the breeding season. Page six is national events that we're involved with. This past year we were involved with the Pan American Conference, which was the first time it was ever held down at Belmont in New York City, Belmont Stakes Week, where the industry nationally brought in international organizations that wanted to know more about North American breeding and racing. The New York breeding industry was a marquee player in that, and we had the ability to sponsor and contribute in that conference, promoting the New York Breed Program. This following year in January is going to be a National Thoroughbred Owners Conference that we hope to partake in and do similar activities promoting New York breeds to the national ownership scene, which is highly critical for the success of this program. The Take Two initiative is an aftercare initiative that NYTV jump-started with Horseman and Naira back in 2003. And this initiative is where we're sponsoring prize money for hunter and jumper classes specific to thoroughbred. So we're creating demand for horses after they're done racing in the horse show arena, which has become such a success that it's grown into a national program where other states have mimicked what we're doing here in New York State. Last page, page seven, there's print online advertising that NYTV takes part of with the Thoroughbred Daily News, which is published every single day to roughly 11,000 people that receive this electronic newsletter that is the bloodstock newsletter for our industry. We do advertising online and print there. And then the last piece of what we do is at Saratoga Racecourse itself, we have a promotional booth that we distribute all of the various materials and documents that make up this program on the Saratoga grounds right outside of the paddock. That is an update on what NYTV does under our agreement with the Breeding Development Fund, and we've been doing so for many, many years.
Thank you, Jeff. Any questions for Jeff? Doctor?
On page four of the New York Breeder magazine, I just wanted to add it's a very well done publication, and it goes out with the blood horse, so it goes all over the country. It's a great promotional vehicle, and that's a fairly new thing. That didn't used to happen. So you got this New York Breeder magazine going to California, Louisiana, all over. It's a coup to get the blood horse to do that.
23,000 people, direct recipients of our industry.
The blood horse is the premier trade mag in the whole country.
Any other questions for Jeff? Item 10 is the contract extension for NYTB Inc. Tracy or Jill, could you explain the history of the contract and exactly what we're being asked to vote on today?
You want me to do this, Tracy?
Well, I just think the history of there's been a contract with the breeders as the entity that represents the largest number of breeders in the state compared to maybe like Genesee Valley breeders. They represent more breeders than the bulk of breeders in the state. And so the lawmakers who created the fund foresaw that we would need to have a branch that could go out and deal with the public, also have a lobbying arm in case there are needs that the breeders have, which the fund being a state entity, we can't go and lobby. So that was what drove the effort to get behind having an agreement with the breeders. So that's why we work cooperatively, for example, when we're lining up advertising.
It should be pointed out too that since certainly for the past, I want to say 15 years, there's been, this board has found that NYTB is a sole source provider. That is something that is reviewed every 2 years or thereabouts. As fund counsel, I had put together a sole source provider document sort of to memorialize the reasons why this board believes that NYTB is a sole source provider. That has been shared with the board many times over the years.
Who reviews it, Kyle?
The full board.
The full board.
And it's been renewed each time. Mm-hmm. There have probably been some changes to it over the years just because things evolve and change a little bit. But there was some concern some years ago to make sure that, that in fact NYTB was a sole source. So that it wouldn't need to be competitively bid. And this board had reviewed it and has reviewed it many times since then. and has found that NYTB is uniquely positioned in this industry to reach the people that this fund needs to reach. It should be pointed out that in the promotional, that in the enabling statute itself, where there's a dedication to no more than 6% of the fund's assets for promotion, to advance and promote breeding and raising of thoroughbreds in the state by the publication and dissemination of information and the encouragement of interest, including among youth, in the breeding and raising of New York breds, and to advance and promote interest generally in agricultural pursuits. That's right in the enabling statute. It's one of the missions of this fund, as proclaimed by the legislature, to advance and promote not only the fund, but the interests of agricultural pursuits generally throughout the state. And this fund has undertaken many of those activities through its arrangement with NYTB. And it's done so pursuant to a sole source provider. So I just wanted to give you that context.
Doctor?
As a historical footnote, years ago it was Commissioner Nate Rogers who actually whipped us into shape and had us comply with the sole source thing in a very complete and serious way. And Kyle and Nate worked on that many years ago. And I think we've been doing it ever since anyway. So
when is it up for review again?
There's no hard and fast date as to when it's reviewed. I'd have to check the minutes, Chairman, to see when it was last reviewed.
You said it's done every 2 years.
It's done every two or three years, okay. Roughly. Yeah, and I believe it was done a year or two ago, Jeff.
Yeah, it'd be after this contract's expiration, which would be for 2017's year.
Gotcha.
So when was the last one signed?
This is an extension of an existing, a 30-year option.
I was going to say, I can speak to this.
Yeah, why don't you go through the contract and the numbers, Joe?
Okay. The current agreement that we're working off of was signed in September of 2013, and it was good for the calendar year 2014 with the option to renew the agreement for up to 2 one-year renewals. So that was done for 2014, and then we're working on 2015, which is the first year of renewal, and what we're looking for approval on is on the 2016. The agreement calls for $400,000 annually that's paid monthly in $33,000 installments, and Jeff does provide me with quarterly financial reports that summarize the activity based on the budget, the presentation that you were just given, the areas that are budgeted for, and how the expenses for the quarter, how they've worked out. So we kind of go through and the hours and copies of invoices to try to true up that to budget. And he sends that to me on a timely basis. I've had no issues on that.
Thank you, Joe. Any questions regarding the contract extension? Anyone? Well, accept the motion.
So moved.
Mr. Graziano, second.
Second.
Director McMahon, any discussion?
I will recuse myself from this vote as a representative of that.
Thank you, Jeff. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Next is item 11, proposal for the upgrade of NewYorkBreds.com. Tracy?
We became aware at the end of May that beginning in June that Google would no longer be able to link people fully to our website, to every page of our website, if we didn't do an upgrade. But the upgrade, we have Manix, is a certified New York State minority women business enterprise that we do business with. And I looked into what it would cost, and it was about $10,000. So I can't make that spend on my own, so that's why I need board approval to do it. And so for that money, Manix will upgrade the website so that it will become friendly for iPads and iPhones, which, since that's the way that everybody is going, I see the need to complete that.
And you have a contract?
We have an ongoing contract with them for a set amount per month to run the Red website, but this is an extra spend to bring us into the modern age.
And this would be a one-time?
This is a one-time.
A one-time mm-hmm. expenditure of $10,000
yes.
to upgrade the website?
Yep.
Anyone have any questions?
What would be the aggregate amount of money paid to this company over the year?
Usually, what we pay them on a per service. I think I looked it up last year. We had given them maybe $3,500. I think year to date, we're less than $1,600. So it's not a big. We don't do a lot with them. It's more or less activities, updates to the website that we can't do on our own.
Joe, it was my understanding that a motion was passed at a prior meeting indicating board approval was necessary for expenditures over $5,000?
That's right.
That's correct. Thank you. So, we'll, if there are any other questions, or we'll entertain a motion? Mr. Graziano, second. Dr. Wilmot. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you.
Next is the agreement with the Gaming Commission. This is a agreement that I understand was negotiated between Carl and Commission Council pursuant to section 252.3 of the Racing Paramutual Wagering and Breeding Law. Tracy, could you explain the agreement?
If Kyle will let me cheat off his notes. this has been a long time coming, and for the record, we have been accruing anticipated rent for this year because we were originally told that we needed to vote on this back in March, and then the board meeting that I'd hoped to have got scrubbed. In fact, we're supposed to have 4 board meetings a year, so hopefully we can do better in the future now that we have a chairman. A law was passed in, was it 2011, 2012, that said we shall use the services of the Gaming Commission, and we were asked to leave our rented space in the State Parks Department and move down to Schenectady, which we did. But then there was quite a long time, it took quite a long time to negotiate an agreement between Kyle and people at the Gaming Commission as to, you know, what our rent should be and what the agreement would entail. And so Kyle worked on it to do the summary.
So over the past year or so, I mean, actually, probably back in through most of 2014, I had on again, off again discussions with Ed Burns at Gaming in negotiating what was originally called an MOU, which is now styled as a shared services agreement. I think we both raised some, there were some lack of clarity under the statute as to how how the Gaming Commission and the Office of Racing Promotion and Development was to work with the administration of this fund. I think Mr. Burns and I worked that out through some collaborative discussions. We had some calls with the audit committee on some issues that we had, and ultimately we were able to work it all out. And really came to an accord back, I think, in February, but we just haven't had a meeting since then to finalize it. So I had indicated to Mr. Burns that, you know, preliminarily, I see no issue with this agreement. It looks fine, but, you know, the board has to approve it.
Thank you, Kyle. Is there any questions for Kyle or Tracy on the agreement? No questions. I'd entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion.
Director McMahon? Second, Director Graziano. All in favor?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, I would abstain as an employee of the Gaming Commission.
I will also abstain. Todd?
Yeah, I'm going to recuse. Yeah, I'm going to recuse on this.
Okay.
The motion is passed with 3 abstentions.
And that motion would empower, I presume, but let's be clear, Tracy Egan to sign the agreement on behalf of the fund?
Correct.
Okay. There you go.
Item 14? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm on item 13. I keep skipping these items, I'm trying to get through this quicker. This has to do with our agreement with Kyle's firm. It's my understanding that there's an existing agreement that requires a monthly retainer that provides that either party can terminate the agreement on
1 week's notice.
On 1 week's notice. We could go into executive session and discuss that if any one of the directors would like to, or we can just continue it for the time being, especially in light of the new agreement with the Gaming Commission, to see how that works and what our needs are for legal services in the future. But it's your pleasure. If any member would like to go into executive session and discuss this with just the members of the board, that would be fine. If anyone wants to do that, we'll do it. No? Okay, then we'll... Nothing to vote on right now. We'll pass to the next item. The next item involves an issue that I think everyone is familiar with. It's been pending for at least a year that I'm aware of. Kyle has given me a series of letters back and forth between NYRA and the board. And we've taken different positions with respect to the repayment. There was some issue as to how the amount was calculated. There was certainly good legal issues that Kyle raised with respect to our obligation to repay this. My own suggestion, and this is just after talking to some people and considering it, since we have two quasi-government agencies that are, one NYRA is subject to state supervision, and this board, which is a public benefit corporation, that we ask the state controller for his opinion with respect to this issue and be guided by that. I think it's sufficiently controversial, and there are certainly two different ways of looking at it, and I'd be willing to abide by what the controller says. And it involves the payment of state money, and I think that's certainly within the controller's purview.
Are you suggesting that it's a binding decision from?
No, I would suggest that for today's purposes that we entertain a motion to direct the executive director to seek an opinion.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Motion by Senator Nolan, seconded by Dr. Wilmot.
Can I speak here?
Yes.
John?
Yes, we hear you, Todd.
So we'd be seeking guidance from the controller or the controller's office, and then what we do with that guidance would be subject to further action of this board, is that correct?
That's correct.
Excellent, I'm certainly in favor of that.
Good. So the motion is made, seconded, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No? You can record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, we skipped over the Brian case we talked about a little bit, but I would suggest that maybe under executive session, which we're going into later, I mean, this brings up a point where maybe we're going to need some kind of counsel that we can talk about in executive session.
Sure. Next item is item 15. Audit Committee proposed 2016 budget. Director McMahon?
The Audit Committee has met many times since our meeting last December, and they've reviewed the monthlies of the fund every month. They've been advised by Jill and Tracy of the activities and the cash flow and the payments of the fund, and we have presented a budget which is a very very much similar to the budget of last year, as we noted before, where we have to deal with, we don't know how much money's going to be earned, we don't know how much money's going to come in. So this is always kind of a rolling budget. We try to just stay within it. As you all looked at your financials earlier in the meeting today, you saw that that's exactly what we do. So I'll turn this over to Jill and go from there. The committee, the audit committee, fully endorsed this for recommendation to accept that board level.
Thank you, Joe.
Just to go over a little bit on the budget, the main driver is the revenue. Once we figure out what the revenue, we anticipate the revenue to be. From there on, we go through the expenses and determine the expenses. So I've paid a little bit more attention to the revenue pieces in the package that you got. If you go to page 3, that's where I break it down in the different areas where we receive revenue. The ADW, or the market origin credits, breakage handle, and from the different type of entities, the VLT money that we get from the Aqueduct Resorts World and Finger Lakes, and then the web fees. And I've put an actual for 2012, 13, and 14. We know those. We're only halfway through 2015, so we don't know quite what's happening. In those cases, I use the rolling budget number to help me, to help us with the audit committee to come up with the budget for 2016. And if you look at the 2016, the major differences are there's a decrease in the ADW revenues that we anticipate getting in 2016. Part of that is because we used to receive the revenue from Churchill Downs directly through Finger Lakes, and that's changed, which decreased the revenue that we're going to be receiving from Churchill Downs, the portion that we get from that. In addition to that, the 2015 budget number that we used were a little bit high, so we worked those down a little bit. The handle has been decreasing, that the trends are decreasing, and that we anticipate to continue. We've actually been kind of conservative and not only showing a decrease of 1.4% for 2016, but that's partially because not all of 2015 is known, so we're not quite sure how the year is going to end. And then the VLT for Finger Lakes shows a decrease of 13, almost 14%. Or $232,000. That's because of the end of an agreement. We'll have 12 months at a lower rate. We used to receive our percentage based on a contract that we had an agreement, and it ranged between 1.4 and 1.6%. We're now only getting a statute rate of 1.25%. So we get less money there, and in addition, the trend on the Finger Lakes VLT has been going down anyway. So there's a couple of reasons we decrease that. For the Resorts World, we used a conservative number and used the actual for 2014 rather than the higher actual or actual slash budget for 2015. And the reason we did that is because we've got some an unknown with the casinos coming into play and how they'll affect the revenues with Resorts World. We realize there's not going to be a whole lot of that in 2016, but we wanted to be conservative with our revenues so that we could then come up with the rest of the budget. We then took those revenues that we came up with, which end up being a $600,000 decrease from the budget to actual for this year that we're anticipating. And from there, we looked at the Breeder Stallion Owner Awards, the admin and promo, made sure we stayed under our caps for those. We were able to decrease our admin because of the GASB 68. We did the same with the promo piece, but we throw a little bit extra in the promo, which is then discussed at the committee meeting at the committee level. And it's pretty consistent with prior years at this point. We do see the possibility of decreasing revenues in future years, so we're thinking about that. We also anticipate increasing awards because of our full counts. The numbers have been increasing, so we think that trend is going to go up. We've got little cushions in there for this year, and we're hoping that for 16 as well, but we don't really know at this point. So, any questions on the budget for 2016?
For the purpose of the new members here, I'd like to just bring up one thing that many years ago, the fund instituted a policy where we have a holdback on our awards. We pay the awards on a bi-monthly basis. And to eliminate the problem of a shortfall and not being able to pay at our advertised rates, the fund came up with the idea that we would withhold 10% of all awards whenever they're paid out, so that we could equalize the awards at the end of the year if there was ever a shortfall. We've only had one instance in that in all the 20 years that I've been involved with it. And that was the year that New York City OTB didn't pay us a sizable amount of money. So it's proof to the safeguards that Jill's talking about. That's one of them that's in there that we have depended on over the years, and it's proved itself to be very worthy and a very good view for the fund to incorporate. So that's one of them, but we also, like I said, we meet very regularly on these things to make sure that we're where we anticipate being. And I'll just take this minute to say that the audit committee, John Graziano and Jeff and myself, spend a lot of time with fund staff on this. And I appreciate your help, you guys.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Joe. Any questions on the budget for Jill or Joe? Now, it's my understanding that the budget needs approval by the board mm-hmm. and must be submitted to the New York State Authority's budget office by October 1st.
Yes, correct.
So I will entertain a motion to approve the budget.
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Jeff, seconded by John. Or any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Record the vote. Item 16 is a proposal to move fund accounts from the Bank of America to Trustco Bank in Schenectady. Joe?
This is another matter we took up in the audit committee. It was basically, it's a housekeeping issue. We get a better deal. To just put it simply, we looked at how much money it was costing us to do business with each of the banks and each of the accounts we had. Jill did a study of it. We sent out proposals, requests for banks, proposals on how they could do this, and we came back with the lowest one, which actually is very convenient for the fund. But we, again, it was a housekeeping measure to reduce costs because there was a mandatory cost involved in the other accounts with the other banks that we wanted to get rid of, and so we did. Again, we would recommend the fund board accept that.
And just to add to Joe's comments, I mean, we've been with Bank of America for a number of years, and just in the last 3 years, they've made a real effort to, I think, to get rid of some of their smaller accounts. So there's not a whole lot of, it doesn't appear that there's a whole lot of interest in them in keeping us, because I would like nothing better than to have stayed where we were, a lot less work involved in the transfer process. But we went from 2013, where we earned $6,500 in interest, to in 2014, where they put us on the type of an account where they would watch our funds, and if we went over a certain amount, we would pay fees, but if we didn't go over that amount, we wouldn't receive any interest, but we wouldn't have to be paying fees, which in 2014, we had no interest earned, but no fees paid. In 2015, actually April 1st, they increased the rates that they were charging and basing these, the minimum balance that you needed to have into your account. They raised the fees associated with that. So the last two quarters, we've had to pay between $900 and $1,000 in fees each quarter. So, you know, I tried to negotiate to see if there was any way we could reduce those fees, and I wasn't able to. So that's at that point, went to different banks and then discussed it with the audit committee as far as what we were being offered. And Trustco Bank is willing, you know, to not charge us any fees and to put our excess funds into a sweep account where we could earn interest on them.
And how many banks did you look into?
I went through the FDIC, and then I just based it on local branches because we do make our deposits. You know, we still have deposits. So I had requested bids from, I think it was six, and I actually received them from the four. So you'll see there is on the list right here. I received from Bank of America our current fees. I've received a proposal from NBT, Adirondack Trust, and Trustco Bank. I did get, because our funds are government funds, they're required to be collateralized, and there were one or two banks that just weren't interested or weren't able to collateralize the funds, so they had to drop.
Are there any other questions?
Yeah, Joe, what's local assistance?
local assistance is just more of a personal, you know, you have somebody that's assigned to you that you can call at any time. You can do that with Bank of America, but they're so divided. You'll call somebody in Boston and they'll refer you to somebody in Florida, and then they'll transfer you on to somebody in Chicago that handles that. Whereas this is, you pretty much, Trustco Bank is a global regional bank, and they, in discussions with them, they would actually assign us representatives that we could just call, and they would be able to assist us at that level. So it's something where I think I could, if I had a problem with the bank, I could just walk down to the branch or to the office and say, hey, can you help me? Whereas you can't do that with Bank of America.
And the threat of litigation.
Yes. Any other questions?
And then would entertain a motion to move the account from Bank of America to Trustco.
So moved.
Motion by Dr. Wilmot, second by Commissioner Ball. Any discussion?
Can I just ask one question, Jill? Should we do this before we start doing, you know, moving our software over from the rewrite to do checks?
I'd like to start it right away.
Do it right away, okay.
So that when our new system is in effect, we're okay. Already made all our changes.
Just, that was just a timetable question. Thank you.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Record the vote. The next item would be fund policies. I would like to move that to the next meeting, if that's okay. Mr. Kelly is unable to join us, and I have not been given a complete copy. Tracy tells me that there are links that she had provided indicating what the policies are.
Yes, so everyone here was, you know, they could go, you know, follow the links, read the policies. The current, you know, the longer term members of the board have all approved those very same policies in previous years. So there's nothing changed for the policies, but the authority's budget office does say that every year she should review them and decide whether to, you know, approve them again for the new year. So it would be appropriate that we do that in December.
We do have three copies because of the length. Because there's a lot of paper.
There's so much paper to print out.
Paper costs for printing these things up. But there are three copies if anybody needed to reference any of the policies.
Well, I will readily admit I haven't had the opportunity to review them all for today's meeting. And since Mr. Kelly is not present, I would recommend that we put this off to the December meeting unless anyone has an objection. Joe?
I don't have an objection necessarily, but I'm on that committee with Ed, and I spoke with Ed this morning, and he is very sick. The governance committee would request, and maybe you can do this, I don't know, that a former board member that we had here, Commissioner Harry Snyder, who's an attorney in Saratoga, and a longtime member of the Race and Wagering Board, join our committee. The reason being that he has a lot of history about the fund board. He has tremendous racing knowledge and knowledge of the board. And Ed has requested that we get another person on there. So we come up with that with Harry. Harry has agreed to do it. I don't know if we need a board approval the only reason I'm asking if you can go around this and get it done right now is just so we can act on these issues before the December meeting with that committee. Is that something we can do?
As I understand the bylaws, give the chairman the authority to appoint the committees.
That's correct.
I understand that there is an audit and finance committee, an ad hoc committee on advertising, mm-hmm. a governance committee, an ad hoc committee on purse enrichment, mm-hmm. and that's all I have. Did I miss any?
No.
So I'd like to look at all of the committees, who are members, who may want to be members. Anybody on the board that would like to be a member of any committee, please let me know. Anybody that wants to recommend somebody, such as Mr. Snyder, let me know. I don't think that we're limited to board members to be serving on the committee. As I read the bylaws, if anybody disagrees, let me know. But I think I would like to take a look at all the committees and see if what they're doing, see if we need to add any committees, subtract any committees, or add any personnel. And I will do that before the December meeting.
Good. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
John, will you also look at the bylaws of the committee?
Yes, I read the bylaws. The bylaws provide the bylaws of the board provide that the chairman is to appoint the committee. I don't know if there are any bylaws of any of these committees. Joe, do you know?
I'm asking that very question.
Are there
committee bylaws?
No.
Are there committee bylaws?
No.
I'm told there are none.
Thank you.
I'd have to go back and look. I believe that when the audit committee and the governance committee were convened in or about 2009 or 2010, I could have my dates wrong. My recollection is that there was a document put, you know, established.
Well, the two racing commissioners were on the governance
committee.
Styled
as bylaws or not, but let me take a look at that.
Okay.
Because I do believe, if my memory is correct, that when those two committees were formed, that there was some form of a governing document that I put together, but I haven't looked at it in a while, to be quite candid with you.
Are the records of the board maintained at a certain location?
At the fund office.
Fund office.
At the fund office,
and also, you know, older minutes are in a storage facility.
So you can check and see if there are any bylaws of any of the committees.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have that too, because I would have drafted it. So.
Okay. Definitely. Thank you.
Thank you. Next item, item 18, update on SWAG funding and research. Dr. Wilmot?
As most of you know, 2% of our budget goes to the Harry M. Zweig Memorial Fund at Cornell University, as does 2% of the Harness Horse Fund, which my friend Rod Oakbrook is heading up these days. I was on the Zweig committee before I was on this board, and that goes back a long time. And it's one of the most satisfying things that I've ever done. With that said, the Zweig Fund gets, in aggregate, probably in the neighborhood of $700,000-$800,000 a year from these two funds. And with that money over the years, it has changed Cornell University. There is no other program in the United States like this, where one state university gets support for research, for equine research. You can get money for cattle and chickens, but horses, it's tough to come by. Anyway, it has basically changed Cornell from a large animal cow school to a large animal horse school. It's allowed Cornell to attract and maintain the brightest minds in the world in equine research, such as Alan Nixon. And they have now opened the Cornell Ruffian Center down next to Belmont Park. They got matching money from the Grace and Jockey Fund. I sent everybody on this board a link to the annual report of the Zwanek Fund. Tracy was nice enough to bring a copy today. So after the meeting, if anyone wants to take a look at it, please be my guest. It's something that when this legislation was done back in 73, that was brilliant. It's done great things for our state. That's it.
Thank you very much, Duncan. Really appreciate it. And doing some great work. Tracy, item 19, update on software rewrite.
As the longer serving board members know, we have needed the fund has needed a software rewrite for many years. We've been using software that was created in 1988, and over the years it has had many, many patches. And anytime, it was like having a pizza dough, and when you go to, you know, you're trying to stretch it to cover the whole pan, and when you move it one place, it has a hole in another. And that's been kind of the hiccups that we've experienced in the last few years. So we definitely had a need for the software update. The history of doing the software update was that we originally proposed to go to the Jockey Club, and someone said, well, you need to go out, and in fact, I think it was our council, so Kyle said, you need to make sure that, you know, there's not someone else out there that could do it better and cheaper. So we worked with the fantastic people in the procurement department at Gaming, and it took a whole year to go out and look and assure everybody that no, there was nobody better than the Jockey Club to get this work done. And so then we entered a contract with them. And for the past year, staff, especially with our consultant Christine Fritchie, who had experience doing software rewrites, which is extremely, you know, it's you're building something frame by frame, nuts and bolts and all, and it's been a painstaking process. But we have come a long way to the point where, just a couple of weeks ago, we were able to run the new software system alongside our old software system to replicate the award periods. And previous test runs of that had produced some bumps and problems, so they would have to go back in and rewrite. So that's come a long way, and we still have ways to go on that, but it's going to help the fund in many ways moving forward. We'll be able to do things, for example, if the fund wants to, we could do direct deposits for people, and you know, maybe even do the send out awards even more quickly. So there's no request for any additional spend here. I just wanted you to know that we've been working long and hard, and we're in the home stretch.
Any questions?
How close are we to this, Tracy, to the end of this? We have been on this a long time.
Various parts will come online. I think the first thing that will come online is the ability to use the new system to parallel the old system to create checks. So, you know, there may be other things we want to add to the system.
The registration process, is that?
Well, the registration, yes, I had them include, the registration process is included. Also, we had them build something that we initially didn't anticipate, which is that the farm team will be part of this. And now we're going to, in the next year, the Jockey Club will allow people to use chips in their horses. Beginning in 2017, the entire foal crop, any thoroughbred that wants to be registered, will have to have a chip inserted. So our field team will be, you know, equipped with scanners. And I believe once we have that electronic information coming in, that, you know, we'll work with the Jockey Club to also incorporate that. The other thing the Jockey Club is working on for us is to allow people, it'll be like the last thing you do after you register horses with us, is go to a link to the Jockey Club for Thoroughbred Connect. So at the same time as you're finishing up your registration with the fund, you can be connected to your horse, so in the future, someone can contact you if they find it and let you know. You're not obliged to do anything, but you would be able to say, hey, I know somebody who might take this horse, or maybe you would want it back. So,
and that's going to be in the new system?
Yes.
The chip system, which is a big advance.
Well, the chip system, that's something that when we made our contract with the Jockey Club, it wasn't envisioned. We just found that out about the chip system at the round table a couple of weeks ago, August 4th, in Saratoga. So I've had a discussion with them and saying, you know, going forward, you know, we'll need to do that. So the team will need training too in how to incorporate that.
And I think this system just gives us the ability to grow and improve the system that we have. The system that we have right now is on, you know, ancient software that can't be used or you know, so there's a lot of limitations as far as what you can do with it. Whereas this system will be up and running by the end of the year. We still anticipate that to be right on track. But it will also, when chips are something that's feasible, mm-hmm. that can be used and is a way to improve our registration system, we can then incorporate that in because we'll have a good software system to begin with.
Yeah. So. And I would make the comment, Chairman, that this new software for the fund is so critical because it's going to allow us to project what the financials and awards are for this organization in a much better fashion than 30-year-old software that we had before.
Yeah, right now we still use a lot of spreadsheets and Excel files to try to gather our information. Yeah. We're hoping to be able to eliminate that, and especially the field team, they do a lot of inputting. You know, each time they go to a farm, they've almost got to do duplicate information where they're inputting it and then inputting it again into a spreadsheet, and then they're, you know, organizing it. Whereas when they put it into the system, it'll be there and they'll be able to work with it a lot easier, and we'll all be able to get information from it.
When we discussed this last week, I asked Tracy about the consultant and the consultant's agreement and the contract. I think that's something that should be subject to board's approval. So unless there's any objection, I'm going to ask that be put on the agenda for the next meeting so we can take a look at that contract and decide whether or not it's appropriate to continue.
That's the employee, the consultant.
Christine Frucci Consultants. She was working for the fund, and the Minority Women Business Enterprise people had asked us, if you're working with anyone who's a minority or woman, you know, they're making less than $3 million a year, I think is the threshold, see if you can get them to become certified, which is a very lengthy, time-consuming process, which many people had gotten thrown off, had decided not to do it, because it is so difficult. But anyway, so Frucci Consulting did get that, so that helps us. The goal used to be 20%, and now it's 30%, and soon they'll add a veterans aspect of that of 6%. So it's...
And I would just add, she's critical to the software rewrite, because we just have such limited staff. We don't have the time ourselves to go through and test every single item that she's doing. She goes through and she's very detail-oriented. She's excellent at what she does. And, you know, she'll find errors and, you know, she'll work with Jockey Club directly and try to leave us out of a lot of the details until we actually need to get involved. And that saves myself, Tracy, and Adam, the mm-hmm. registrar, a ton of time.
Great. So you'll put that on agenda for the next meeting?
Certainly.
And you can present it at that
okay.
time.
Okay.
Thank you. Now, unless there are any other items that anyone wants to bring up, I'd suggest that we go into executive session to consider certain litigated matters and some personnel issues.
John? Before we go into executive session, Tracy, you have some guests here, and your team, maybe you can introduce.
Yes. You guys want to come stand behind me?
Sure.
These are our fellowship students. Adam, could you maybe see if you can adjust that so that Todd can see them? Can you see the people standing behind me? This is Eddie King, Sarah Smith, Mindy Fairchild. There are three fellowship students who are at the racetrack working with Hall of Fame quality trainers. And I thank you for coming to meet our new chairman, John Baclumba.
Yeah. Congratulations.
And this is Todd Snyder, who's joining us from New York City. And I'll introduce you to everybody else later. But these kids are, they're so hardworking. They're a joy to work with and very appreciative. They're quite the crew. Between the three of them, they have one car and one bicycle, and they make it work. So just that, you'll get an idea of the camaraderie and the what has to go into all this. So thanks, guys. And
thank
stick
you.
Around for lunch.
Okay, don't have to tell us. Oh, we just came from work, so.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you again.
Thanks, John. So you're going to adjourn to an executive session?
Yes, unless there's any other items you want to consider first.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Thank you very much. Second?
Moved.
Second by Dr. Wilmot. Thank you very much. Tracy, if you could just excuse us for a minute.
Yep.
What's the next meeting?
So, Adam,
yep.
I just to turn this off.
Yeah, why don't you just stay?
Okay. I don't touch electronic things. I have a.
Okay.